our story for all ages, and the children are all already working on a project, so it's fewer ages than usual, but it's a good story anyway. Bridget's Cloak. A wild and windy night it was, 15 centuries ago, that a very special child was born in Ireland. The baby's father was Duffy, a warrior prince and the lord of Fogart Hill. But the child's mother was not a princess at all, far from it. Little Bridget, for that was the baby's name, was born in a cold hut outside the walls of Duffy's hill fort, a slave child. The wind groaned and swirled that night, and likely it seemed to tear the thatch from the roof. But when the baby gave her first cry, the wind hushed to a whisper. Then all over the hill, the people came out and looked to the sky, swept clean and cloudless. "Listen," they said to each other in wonder. "The stars are singing." And it's singing they were, not like a song like you or I might sing, but a gathering of sweet crystal notes like bird song and brook laughter in the spring. And the forest all around was so dense and dark that it was hard to tell where the trees ended and the sky began. And then someone said, "Look, a star has fallen into the forest." But it wasn't a star at all. It was a tiny lantern that twinkled as it swung back and forth from the top of a tall staff. And a very old man appeared at the edge of the forest, and it was he who carried the star lantern. He had holly leaves in his long white hair, and he wore long flowing robes. And the people backed away as he came up the hill. They knew what he was. He was a druid, one of the powerful wizards who lived alone in the oak grove in the center of the great forest. He came directly to the door of the hut where the newborn child lay cradled in her mother's arms. Now the women in the hut were all Christians, but druids were not. Druids worshipped the moon and the tree spirits, and they talked to the fairy folk who lived beneath the hills, and everyone knew that druids could tell the future. "God be with you," said the young mother politely. "It is with me your God has been," he replied in a voice wise and fierce and full of truth. "I was told in a dream to bring this gift to the child born on the night of the singing stars." And the old druid held out a beautiful blue cloak. Now in those days, blue was a rare color for any sort of cloth, and the women were surprised. Blue was a royal color. The old druid wrapped the baby in the cloak and held her high in the air and said, "This cloak will be a sign of your God's favor. I am one of the fathers of old Ireland, and I greet little Bridget, who will be a mother to the new Ireland that is to come." These were strange words indeed, and not soon forgotten. But no one knew what they meant, and the druid didn't explain. He simply placed Bridget carefully in her mother's arms, made a magic sign of blessing with his staff, and strode away into the dark. Well and ill, 10 years went by. Bridget was in charge of a small flock of Prince Duffy's sheep. One bitterly cold December evening, Bridget was bringing her flock home, as she did every night. The little shepherdess pulled her old blue cloak close about her shoulders. The druid's gift was now little more than a worn and tattered cloth, but it was her most treasured possession. She wore it every day and often wondered about the meaning of the druid's words, for her mother and many another repeated them to her over and over. The first stars were beginning to twinkle. Bridget loved this time of day, and so close to Christmas, she would pretend that the brightest star in the east was the Christmas star. She liked to imagine she was one of those shepherds so long ago making her way to a stable to see the baby Jesus. In her own stable, Bridget shut up the sheep for the night and patted each of the cows, as she called them by name. And when all were settled in their stalls and fresh hay had been spread, Bridget knelt down, as she always did, to say a prayer of thanks. There were no wolves today, and all her animals were safe. When Bridget stood to go in for supper, she rubbed her eyes in disbelief. She was no longer in her own familiar stable. She was in a stable, true enough, but outside there were no forest sounds, and the air was dry and warm and dusty. And up the hill from the stable, she saw a village of curious flat-roofed houses and narrow streets. But there was Duffy, or was it? A man dressed in oddly colored robes came striding down the hill. "What is taking you so long, daughter?" he demanded. "We have many visitors, and they want their suppers." Bridget followed him up the hill and into a small stone building. Duffy, it seemed, was an innkeeper in this strange place, and he soon had Bridget ladling out bowls of stew and cutting thick slices of hard bread and filling and refilling cups of wine. And there were dishes to wash and rooms to clean and beds to make, and she worked hard into the night. At last, Bridget had a chance to rest. She sat down on a bench by the door, wondering where in the world this place might be and why she was here. Just then, there was a soft knocking at the door. "There's no more room," Duffy shouted from another room. "Tell them to go away." "Please," a man's voice outside said, "I must find a place for my wife to rest." The voice was so kind and tired. Maybe, she thought, she could talk Duffy into finding just one more bed. Wearily, Bridget rose and opened the door. And outside, behind the man, a young woman sat on a very small donkey. "Thank you," said the man. "My name is Joseph, and this is my wife, Mary." Bridget felt as one does when a candle is lit in a very dark room. She now knew exactly where she was and what she had to do. "Come quickly," she said, leading them away from the inn and down the hill. And in the stable, she helped Joseph lay a bed of soft hay on the floor. And they covered the hay with Joseph's cloak. Even though it did not seem cold to Bridget, Mary was shivering. And Bridget took off her old cloak and put it around Mary's shoulders. "You will need some water," she said. And she hurried back to the inn. And when she returned with a heavy clay pot of water, she could hear from inside the stable the soft sounds of a newborn baby. Joseph gave the child to Bridget to hold as he made Mary more comfortable. Lovingly, she held the child and then carefully laid him in the cow's manger. "Blessed are you among all women," she said to Mary, "and blessed is your holy child." Joseph and Mary smiled at her, and a comforting golden light seemed to grow around them. And from the skies above came the sweetest music Bridget had ever heard. Yet it sounded familiar. It was the music of brooks and birdsong, of bells and harps, of oceans and lakes. For that one moment, the earth itself sang out in joy. Bridget's awe was broken by the soft voice of Mary. "Thank you, child of the West," she said. And then she handed Bridget's cloak to Joseph, who placed it around Bridget's shoulders. "Your generosity will be remembered always," he added. And then there was the sound of steps and voices outside. "Where is that child?" "Bridget!" "Oh, look, what is that light in the stable there?" And Bridget looked up as the door was thrust open. But there were no shepherds or wise kings. Instead, it was her own mother and some of the other slave women from Fogart Hill. Snow swirled in the open door with a gust of cold night air. The Holy Family was gone, and Bridget felt the ache in her knees from kneeling too long. But the ache in her heart was much worse. She longed for the holy scene that had vanished so quickly. Instead, here she was in her very own stable, surrounded by her own sheep and cows. "What has taken you so long?" demanded her mother. "It's late and cold, and we were worried." And then she stopped her scolding with a gasp. "What is this?" she said, pointing to her daughter's cloak. All the women gathered round to examine the cloak, though none would touch it. Bridget pulled the old blue cloth from her shoulders, only to find twilight of the eastern skies blue, and on it were dozens of tiny glowing stars. "I was in Bethlehem," she began. St. Bridget's cloak appears regularly in Irish folklore. In another story, she asked the king if she might have enough land to establish a convent. And he had no problem with that. So he offered her a bit of land as big as her cloak. Okay, so she spread out her cloak, and it stretched and stretched and stretched across the land until it covered sufficient acreage to support a convent and all those who came to it for food and shelter and healing. Wrapping it around those who suffered would cure disease and heal wounds. A common blessing was, "May you be under Bridget's cloak." And to this day, a cathedral in Bruges, Belgium, keeps in reverence a large blue cloak, which is said to be St. Bridget's very own. This is the time in our service when you can come forward with a joy or a sorrow that you carried in with you today. Please give us your name and be brief so that all who wish to share will have an opportunity to do so.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Look what happened. And I'll pretend that Steve Opry is here and Henry Bennett and Lee Rice Frades are here also because they were models in the book. But anyway, the book is coming out on Tuesday. And there's a big, not to pitch, but there's a big book launch event at the Milford Toadstool on Saturday the 17th from 2 to 4. And we would welcome you to come. And actually, there's a potluck here afterwards, so bring a pot and some luck, and you can join in whatever else happens. But yeah, happy birthday. So this is like a thing, and the website is almost ready, and I'm glad to be here.
Another famous published author in our congregation. Have a poem to read to you by Carolyn Meller, and I would invite you to close your eyes so that you can actually see the poem. I am Imbolc, the dream of awakening. I am the dream of awakening. I am the returning of the light. I am the tough green shoot pushing up through the pavestones. I am the first kiss of sunlight on the unfurling petals of the snowdrop. I am the wind which whispers the gentle pull of home to the migratory bird. I am the drop of ice melting on the mountainside with its great dream of the ocean. I am the sap rising in the blossom tree just before it reveals its sticky buds to the sky. I am the riotous celebration humming away beneath the earth's mantle of frozen sleep. I am the rousing of the bee from its winter slumber and the soft pad of the mother wolf's paw on snow as she prepares to birth her pups. Potential, rebirth, and promise. I am the kindling breath which transforms the flicker of inspiration in your creative core into a blazing torch. Give me the silent crescent moon rising over the sea, and I will build you a bridge of silver light so you can walk up and lie in it. Give me the frost-hardened wilderness, and I will breathe radiant green life over it. Give me the healer, the writer, the craftsperson, and the storyteller, and I will replenish her essence and make her new again. I am Brigid, Bast, Inanna, and Hestia. I am the fierce protectress of the sacred fire. Tonight I bestow my gifts of power and courage at the hearth of your soul. Power to step out of the shadows of self-doubt and negativity which have held you in darkness for too long. Power to shed all that which no longer serves you, and courage to clear your heart and mind for the dawn that awaits you. I am the time to honor your unique gifts for their true worth, and to protect and nurture your creative self as you would a child. I am the deep longing of the spirit which refuses to be consumed by a narrative of fear, and chooses instead to place itself vivaciously on the side of love. I am the stirring in your belly which knows exactly what you are capable of, and that it's time the world found out. I am the fire within which will not be contained any longer. I am the quickening. I am the serpent uncoiling. I am Imbolc. I am the dream of awakening.
That's all there is.
In early February, there are a cluster of holidays. We have Imbolc, Bridget's Night, Candlemas, the Festival of St. Bridget, and of course, Groundhog's Day. That one we hear about mostly because of the weather divination of Punxsutawney Phil. And he makes the news. Now, why do we drag a poor sleeping creature out of hibernation? Melissa Ingalls believes that it may be attributable to hibernation envy. She says it's not a bad idea. You eat obsessively until you're fat. Then sleep it off in a warm, cozy burrow until the cold goes away and you wake up thin from burning off all those calories for heat. You could go for a weight loss program like that. February 2nd, as a day of weather divination, has a long history. It's the day of the Imbolc celebration honoring the goddess Brigid, and she was a diviner able to see into the future. So Brigid the saint became the patron saint of weather forecasters, among other things. The saying went, if Candlemas Day is bright and clear, there will be two winters in this year. And it was said that Bridget had a serpent that came out of its hole in the ground on February 2nd. So, when St. Patrick chased the snakes from Ireland, did he remove the goddess Bridget's snake? Was it code for replacing her with the Saint Bridget? Imbolc is translated as either in the belly or as ewe's milk. In times before year-round abundance in supermarkets, a lactating ewe giving ewe's milk halfway through the winter was a very welcome sign indeed. It may be the middle of winter, but spring will come again, and there will be milk and perhaps even an early lamb to help you make it through the second part of winter. Even here in rural England, February 2nd is a time to check your stores and make sure that you still have half your wood and half your hay. In the Wheel of the Year, which is pictured on your order of service and on the screen, you will see that Imbolc lies halfway between winter solstice, or Yule, and the spring equinox, or Ostara. It is known as one of the cross-quarter holidays in the wheel. The rhythms of the earth are cyclical. The moon waxes to full and wanes to new moon and then waxes again. And in our breathing, we inhale, we exhale, we inhale, take it in, exhale, let it go, and again. Each new breath, a brand new start. In the cycles of the seasons, there are beginnings and changes and endings and new beginnings. And celebrating our days as a part of the cycle of the earth affirms that we are part of the earth and not separate from her. Observing the cycles of the wheel helps us to tune into the seasons and work with the energies of the earth and not against them. So why do we celebrate spring in the middle of winter? Perhaps it's like the Wednesday parties of college, celebrating the midway point of the work week. We're taking a break in the middle of the week's challenges. We're halfway there. And of course, we celebrate the culmination of that activity that has gotten us through all the dreary weeks of cold and winter so far, Super Bowl Sunday. Each point on the wheel of the year is supportive of a certain kind of endeavor. Now is the time for quickening. It is followed by a time for emerging, a time for growth, a time for fruition, a time for harvesting, a time for death, a time for rebirth, and back to a time for quickening. At this point in the wheel, spring is just a sensuous tease on a sunny day of melting snow. But fear not, says spring, I will come again. We don't have daffodils yet, but we may see snowdrops. The ground may still have snow, but we know that the bulbs below are beginning to spread their roots, and the buds on the trees quiver in the wind with anticipation. We can't plant our garden yet, but we can dream it. We can order our seed catalogs. We can make plans. This particular span in the turning of the wheel is the best time for nurturing dreams of new beginnings. Now, some pagans will say that Candlemas is another example of Christians usurping pagan holidays and layering new celebrations on top of the old. Pagans celebrate the goddess of fire. Christians burn candles to celebrate the purification of the Blessed Mary. Bridget the goddess becomes Saint Bridget, also known as Mary of the Gales. It is said there was a druidic temple on a hill where 19 priestesses kept burning a perpetual flame in an inner sanctum of oak. Nearby was a holy well where people came to leave a token in the oak and ask the goddess for healing. It is also said that St. Bridget established the first convent in Ireland on a hill in Kildare, where 19 nuns, I suppose they just woke up one day and became nuns after they were priestesses, kept burning a perpetual flame in an inner sanctum of oak. And nearby is a holy well where people still leave tokens and ask the goddess for healing. There's a variation of the tale of Bridget's birth that we heard about in our story. It says that when she was born, neighbors came rushing to her home because from a distance, it looked like it was on fire. But when they got there, there was no fire, only a radiant light emanating from the newborn baby girl. They say that the goddess Bridget, goddess of midwifery, attended the birth of the baby Jesus. But the star that guided the wise men to the stable in Bethlehem was not a light shining down from a star, but the light that always surrounded Bridget shining up. Some say that Bridget was foster mother to the baby Jesus and took him away to Ireland where he would be safe from Herod. Some of these tales of Bridget stretch credulity just a bit, unless you believe in time travel and multiple incarnations. Well, actually, I have no problem with that. But suffice it to say that Saint Bridget, if she was an actual historical figure, was one very powerful lady. She incorporated the goddess Bridget's qualities of protection and healing and teaching and caring for the poor. She established the first convents across Ireland, which were also centers for teaching, healing, and feeding and sheltering those in need. The cardinal who came from Rome to ordain her as an abbess ordained her as a female bishop instead, saying, "I have no say in this. It is God's doing." She became active in the struggle for women's rights in the increasingly patriarchal Catholic Church. But rather than say that the Catholic Church usurped the goddess and her holiday, perhaps a more generous interpretation of the similarities would be to say that it is the naturally occurring energies of this point on the wheel of the year that is expressed in similar ways in different cultures and different religions. After all, the Romans also celebrated a goddess at this time of year, Juno Februata, who generated the Febris of love and is the origin of this month's name. Her worshippers carried burning candles, which takes us to Candlemas and the growing light at this point of the year. This time of the year reminds us of the returning warmth with the increasing power of the sun. In this time of fertility, we are called on to carry that warmth into every season of our lives. Last autumn, we watched the nights grow longer and embrace the darkness and silence of winter. But now the fields lie fallow. The sun is dim in the blue, pale sky, and the cold lingers. And in this season, it is hard to remember the warmth and light and new life of spring, but they come. The goddess reminds us that winter is not forever. Bridget reminds us.
Bridget, queen of the slim folk, fairy folk, and mother of the people of Danu, the great goddess. I was here before the beginning of days, and I will remain beyond the end of days. I am also song sweet Bridget of the tribe of the green mantles, and I sent sweet songs and music on the wind, before ever the bells of the chapels were rung in the west or heard in the east. I am the heart of poetry, and I have been a breath in your mind since before you were born. As goddess of the sky, I am the sacred poet, singing power into being. I will now bless the yellow candles with the fire of inspiration.
I am Brigantia, the eternal flame, the mistress of the secrets of the forge. I shape the world with iron and fire, and I am the warrior queen of the Brigantes, leader of the immortal host, defender of the clan, the victorious one. As goddess of the land, I know the secrets of creating and shaping. With my fire and hammer, I will transform you and make you strong and useful. And the day has dawned that will see me coming into the hearts of men and women like a flame upon dry grass, like a wind in the wood, like a flame of justice that will reach the very heavens. I will now bless the red candles with the fire of transformation.
I am Brit of the Isles, namesake of Britain, the Lady of the Sea, the conception of the waves of pure healing love. As goddess of the sea, I am the midwife, the healer, and the guardian of the holy wells. I am the crystal healing waters of the holy wells, and I am the white foam on the rushing of the waters of rivers and springs. My womb brings you forth, my waters refresh you. The touch of my blue cloak makes you whole. I will now bless the blue candles with the fire of healing love.
And during the postlude,